and that would continue under this legislation.
What if they wanted to, what if they didn't want to insure with the General Services? Are they allowed to insure outside of the General Services?
Mr. Chairman, no.
They have to insure.
As long as the statute, like I say, the property is required, they have to cover that through the fund. And the liability has to be provided by the fund. The coverages that they need other than those coverages have to be purchased by commercial policies, and that's done through our department.
So you do the purchasing through commercial. Did you want to say something?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm Bill Nestle. I'm with the Attorney General's Office and assigned to the Department of General Services. And I think part of the difficulty we have in this situation is there are two sources of coverage provided to each state agency. Number one, there is the liability fund itself, which acts as a self-insurance pool of money. That fund can only be expended to defend and pay the judgments or settlements in the cases that are referred to in the Tort Claims Act. And then the second area is the area wherein the state, rather than relying exclusively on that fund that the state holds and administers, goes out and buys a private insurance policy. And the Department of General Services has broader authority to purchase private insurance for various coverages than the coverage that is permitted under the Oregon Tort Claims Act to be provided out of the liability fund. So are there instances in which there are is a potential for both overlaps and for gaps as to what is covered when you view both of the forms of coverage? I think that's where much of the difficulty is coming. From General Services at this point has authority to buy private insurance for a range of risks that are broader than those that it is required and limited to in coverage directly out of its liability fund.
Okay. How do you determine the, and I'm sure I've asked you this before, but I want a little fresher. Gene, how do you determine who's going to carry the coverage? Is there a bidding process, or do you check, make certain of the amount of coverage per dollars? How do you make the determination when you insure with a private company?
Mr. Chairman, we generally buy the two policies we're buying right now from the private sector that are important to us are the two catastrophe policies for the two funds. We have an agent of record that's selected through a competitive process for a three-year period. There's a contract. We pay time and expense for their services in acquiring their competitive bids. They contact insurance markets to write the coverage that we're requesting and give us proposals, and then we select the one that's most competitive.
Thank you. Further questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you. Can you help me understand? Now, you don't want to cover everything because it's just obviously too expensive for the liability fund. So that's why you want some to be covered by private agencies. But by the same token, a State Department or state agency, it has to play this game of some through you and some through someone else, and they don't always know ahead of time what they're going to need covered. So if the state isn't there to cover it, then sometimes they're just left wide open because they don't know ahead of time that they might need coverage through a private agency or through a private company.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Peterson, state agencies would know what coverages are provided by the fund through our administrative rule process. We would clearly define to them what is covered, what isn't.
But they didn't know in this Pink case. So how can you any more clearly define next time down the road?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Peterson, again, they did know, but the confusion arose out of the action, which is defined as a tort. That's where the confusion has arisen in the past. Is the definition of a tort and what is provided by the Oregon Tort Claims Act. We track directly with that. With House Bill 2152, we would be able to expand beyond that coverage and ensure other things that we know about and state agencies would know about through our advice to them.
But again, not everything, not all other legal.
Well, it's hard to know everything, but we got people out there looking into those issues all the time.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions? Representative Springer.
Okay, well, I appreciate Mr. Gary's analysis. I think it's going to be helpful to us when we get, I don't know when the draft or the final version would actually be available to us to take a look at. And I'm not sure it's going to necessarily deal with the problems raised by Mr. Linden's letter. It may. But I do recall the first day we had a hearing on this, my question to Mr. Nestle, and I don't mean to put him on the spot, but kind of following up on this subject, I said, it seems to me there's a problem here and a lack of clarity. And I believe he responded yes. And I said, it seems to me maybe we need to consider a bill or some changes in the statutory language, be it TORS Chapter 30 or somewhere else. And I think he also responded yes. And my next question was, has the Department of Justice put together a bill that's going to deal with this? And the answer was no. Can anyone advise me as to whether or not the Department of Justice has got some amendments or a bill that's going to deal with this problem? And I hear the comment that we don't need to do it in 2152, but then I hear Mr. Snyder just say that the confusion has been over the definition of tort, which I think we agree upon. And if I'm a state agency and I don't know really a heck of a lot about what a tort is or isn't, what am I going to turn to for advice? I'm going to turn to GSA, and they're going to say, well, the definition of tort doesn't cover you, but here's something else you can look at, and we'll write it for you. There's still, I'm just not sure how the agency can kind of understand where they're at, basically, if we just go ahead with 2152 and don't deal with the definition of a tort.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Springer, first of all, the opinion, hopefully, the draft will be on my desk, I expect, tomorrow, and we will try to expedite it so that it can be made available to you this week. Mr. Nestle correctly said, no, we have not prepared legislation. We agree that legislation is appropriate to clarify the meaning of a tort, and we will do so and try to identify for you the policy issues that you need to resolve. And we will do that working from the opinion, and I think that legislation will answer the problems expressed by Mr. Linden. Let me point out that the issue is, as I think as Representative Jones indicated, is not a question of saving money for the taxpayers. It's a question of which public pocket you're going to take the money out of to pay for the defense of a particular case. And the state court administrator's office has taken the position, properly based on the ambiguity in the statutes, that the expense of the defense of virtually every case ought to be picked up by risk management, because then it doesn't come out of the judicial department's budget. For example, there is a case pending now involving a challenge to the constitutionality of a statute which excludes the public from certain judicial proceedings. The defendant in the case is a circuit judge who exercised his authority under that statute. It's a declaratory judgment proceeding. The court administrator's position is that that is a tort, and therefore the defense of that case ought to be borne by risk management. The problem with that is that there are no damages sought. They are merely seeking a declaration that the statute is unconstitutional. And the policy question that this body is going to have to resolve is which client agency, the court administrator or the secretary of state or whoever it may be, that is responsible for administering a statute, or risk management, which is an insurance company, should be responsible for covering the defense of those kinds of cases, when in fact it's the act of this legislature that is being challenged. Because with the payment of our legal expenses comes, at least to a certain extent, the control of the litigation. When someone sues and risk management picks up the defense, we work with risk management as the client to a certain extent. And risk management, if there's no money involved, has only the interest in protecting the corporate fisc of the state. And so they're not going to be as concerned as, say, the Secretary of State would if the challenge is to the constitutionality of an election statute. Those are policy questions that you'll have to address, but again, I think that has to be addressed in the context of defining what is a tort.
Okay, I think you made your position pretty clear, and I appreciate it very much. It's been helpful.
further questions? Have you any more to say? Because you have no more questions. I'm going to... Okay. Did you want to make any more points?
Mr. Chairman, the only one I would make is that the 2152 is a business bill that we're trying to present and get through. The other is a legal issue dealing with the Oregon Tort Claims Act.
I have got a feeling that this committee is not prepared to go into work session on this bill today, and I'm not going to put us in the work session on it, because with this many uncertainties in the minds of the members, we've got to get some better clarification, whether it's in the tort or, you know, covering legal expenses or whatever. But, we're just going to, this is one of those long ones that it's an educational process. At the same time, we've got to work with the problem directly. But I thank each one of you for coming. That is all. Okay. Mr. Reid, did you want to give testimony today?
I'd like to respond to any questions you may have.
Please come on up. This is Mr. Reid from Safe Corporation. And you had some questions, did you not, Mr. Springer? I need to recognize Springer.
Yeah, just briefly, Mr. Reid, I know, was here at one of our earlier hearings. I don't think he was here for the first hearing we had on this bill. And the question I raised then, and there were a couple questions, whether or not the bill is written, how it would affect SAFE on its face. And we've had a clarification amendment that I think represents the position of GSA, that they don't want to have any impact on the policy issue that provides that SAFE writes insurance for state agencies. We're not dealing with that today. But my question, Mr. Reid, I guess in part was, as I understand the setup now, SAFE basically deals with agencies on a one-on-one basis. If Highway Department wants, you know, and needs coverage, you folks provide it. There's no middleman, if you will, or middle person. But apparently what the purpose and intent of this bill, instead of having SAFE deal one-on-one with the agencies, is to put GSA in the middle, so that SAFE or the agencies are going to have to go through GSA in terms of getting their workers' comp coverage, insurance, and all the other services that are part of comp coverage. And I'm curious to hear from your perspective as to what's wrong with the current arrangement that, if anything, that requires that we put SAFE right here in the, or pardon me, GSA right here in the middle between you and the agencies that you're trying to serve. It's my understanding there's been a change in the way you've done business and trying to do with agencies. I guess GSA wouldn't have it here, but for the fact they feel that they can do a better job than is now being done, and I'm kind of curious to hear from you if that's the case and why GSA has to get involved in the relationship that you now have with state agencies.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Springer, the overall general concept of having a risk manager to coordinate and manage the various insurance programs for the state agencies, we hardly endorse. Prior to becoming general manager of the SAFE Corporation last April, I spent 25 years in the private sector of the insurance industry, and saw how effective and efficient you can become with a risk manager. You simply need to have someone there to ensure the coordination of coverages and services, and to eliminate any gaps and overlapping of coverage and service. In a general concept of traditionally, historically, SAFE has been the workman's comp carrier for the state agencies. The long and short of it is that we have, in the last year, have kind of developed a new organizational structure to better respond to the needs and desires of the customers and to become more effective and efficient at what we do. And not only will that reorganization hopefully better serve the private sector, it also better serve the agencies, state agencies. Long and short of it is, I believe it's important to have a central overall coordinator of the programs, and to ensure that we are being responsive, that the needs are being served not only on an individual agency basis, but an overall basis. And so this would change our relationship, but I think it's a change in relationship, perhaps for the better.
Representative
Spanier? Well, I guess that doesn't quite answer my question. Maybe I wasn't being too clear. If we accept your premise that agencies need a risk manager, they're just dealing. Why can't SAFE be the risk manager for state agencies? If SAFE is
for all lines of insurance.
Well, for the workers' comp. That's all I'm talking about is workers' comp. And I'm not sure if you're telling me that there are people in general services who know more about workers' comp coverage than you folks do.
No.
Seems to me...
We are the workers' comp expert, but they are the overall expert in dealing with the various lines of insurance. They have the tort liability fund, the property restoration fund. They got the all the professional liability coverage expertise. And it seemed to me that we should be working hand in glove with them to ensure that they get that there's a total program that's responsive to.
I guess your testimony suggests to me that one reason we ought to let GSA do this is that they're going to be able to do a better job than you folks are doing.
Oh, I would.
Maybe I'm misinterpreting that. But.
On an overall basis, yeah. They can do a better job than we can. Now, for workman's comp per se, we could perhaps work it either way. We are good at what we do, and we expect to be better at what we do. And the reorganization will allow us to become, hopefully, the very best at what we do. But it seemed to me you got a general overall philosophical step to make here, and that is, don't you have an overall coordinator? And if you do, then workman's comp should be part of that. And if you want to fragment it, then that's another issue. But if you want to fragment it, we'll be glad to work with those agencies on that basis. If you want an overall coordinator, we'll be glad to work with that coordinator.
Let me ask a question, if I might. The General Services, when
designing and helping to coordinate the total packages, when they get into workman's comp, they go through SAFE.
Yes, they do.
I mean, they don't do any outside insuring on workman's comp. They have to go through SAFE.
We are the co-carrier record for the workman's comp for state agencies.
Yeah, that's what I felt. I just wanted you to reestablish that in my own mind and on record. So what you're saying, Gary, is that you have no problems with what General Services wants. All you want to do is be a part of it to help in this organizing and of coverage.
Yes, we'd like to be continue to be the carrier record because we've earned it.
I'm not going to argue that point. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is, then, do you have any problems with Hospital 2152?
The only problem that we really had was this way it was originally written. Under, I guess it was the General Services Amendment Number 1, lines 28.9A and 21B.
On what page?
On the first page.
Okay.
Section 3.
Okay.
It says, except for the transaction, we would like to see that section amended to read, except for the transacting workman's comp insurance and reinsurance business by the State Accident Insurance Fund Corporation. Okay. That would allow us to continue to go on.
I have a Hannah Gross copy, and it's in there.
Yes.
Okay, so it's already there. So considering that's there, we have not accepted any amendments on this bill, but you approve of that.
No, we think that's critical from our viewpoint.
But, I mean, you want that in there.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Further questions? Representative Springer.
Well, I hate to sound like I'm plowing the same field here, but it seems to me that GSA wants this because they feel they can do a better job. However, you know, the criteria apply to what means a better job. You know, lower premiums, maybe collectively representing state agencies, they can get a lower premium. I don't know if that's the case or not. I don't imagine that anything that's going to reduce the premium you receive is necessarily to SAFE's advantage. Presumably, if that means that the system's working better, then maybe it is. But it sounds to me one of the reasons they want to do this is to reduce the total premium paid by state agencies. Maybe the reason is they want to make sure that the services that you provide back in terms of safety inspection, you know, accident prevention, all that stuff, which ought to be a part of any good loss prevention in a comp company, sounds to me like if they're going to do that, they're saying you guys aren't doing the job well enough. Maybe they want to get involved in control over claims instead of SAFE deciding whether or not to accept or deny a claim or pay benefits on a claim or the agency making that decision. Now we've got a third potential decision maker, not only the agency, you folks, but maybe we also have General Services Administration deciding whether or not we ought to accept or deny a claim. And I still think that SAFE, whether it's a state agency or what it is, as long as it's got the responsibility for providing coverage, that's where it ought to be coordinated and that's where it ought to be run.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Springer, I don't believe the cost will change all that much in this whole process. The state's accounts right now are kind of on a self-rating basis and their experience kind of dictates their rate. I believe what the risk manager here will be doing is monitoring and ensuring that what is needed and desired by everyone is indeed being, quote, delivered. In my mind, it's not a duplication. It's just a means to ensure that what the promise made, the promise kept.
Okay, I appreciate that. Just one final comment. I guess I wouldn't be totally surprised if, assuming this passes this session, next session we're going to see a bill somebody's going to have that's going to say, okay, we think GSA can get a better price for this coverage if we go to a private carrier, and we want to do the best thing for state agencies and save money, and we're going to go to a private carrier, and as happened with other political subdivisions a few years ago, the private carriers are going to skim the cream and you folks are going to be left covering the highest risk agencies. Have you folks considered that possibility?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Springer, yes, we have. I'm from the old school. I want to earn the customer the old-fashioned way, and that's by being responsive to their needs and desires and truly being the carrier that we should be and providing the expert service and the competitive prices and the quality product that everyone should expect to have us deliver. What you're alluding to is that I believe is that that we would not become the exclusive carrier record, that they'd want to remove that.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope our performance in the next 2 years is so good and so responsive that there will never be a need to have anyone ever approach that issue.
Mm-hmm.
If you truly are serving your customer, they're not going to be coming up your sponsoring bill to remove you from that being an exclusive carrier.
Okay, well, I don't want to take a whole lot more time or digress too much, but I guess just a final comment. I mean, we've heard, at least as long as I've been here since 81, since SAFE became something like a private corporation, something less like a state agency, that now that we took the chains off of SAFE, we're really going to be able to go out there and compete and really do our job and watch out because we're going to earn this kind of support that you just expressed you feel is appropriate. I, for one, haven't seen SAFE really take off over the past 3 or 4 or 5, 6 years. If anything, it's kind of been stillborn for a lot of different reasons. And I would have to
echo that same feeling.
I guess maybe if we accept your premise that you folks ought to be able to earn what the statute now provides through service. If that doesn't happen, I guess you're telling us that we ought to think about looking at new management for Safe Corporation. Are you willing to kind of lay your job out on the line, or is this, am I being kind of unfair to you in terms of
posing no, that question? No, you're not being unfair. The Safe Corporation and what the Safe Corporation that we became head of last April did indeed have a whole series of problems and issues that needed to be addressed. Hopefully, we are addressing those issues and picking them off, and that in the next session you will have what I call the proof in the pudding that we are indeed transcended all those problems that have become the carrier we should be.
Well, I for one sure hope you're right.
Well, that makes two of us.
Are you through with
that? Yeah, that's fine. I think I maybe raised the questions I wanted to raise. I thank Mr. Raid for being over here. I don't know if this is the only bill or the only time he's had a chance to be over this session on issues affecting SAFE.
He was over here once before.
Okay.
We are viably concerned with what goes on over here because of what we are. We're an insurance carrier. In the workers' comp market, and we also are a state agency, so we have kind of dual interest.
Further questions?
I just got one closing question. How much money do we have in SAFE that is in reserve?
You're talking about surplus?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, the year-end statement will show approximately $55 million in surplus.
Now that's down from 83, isn't it?
It's down approximately $50 million.
Okay. I thought there was one time we had $380 million in SAFE. That's for your time.
No, the high water mark, I believe, was some point in time in 81 where you were discussing the transfer of the $81 million. It subsequently settled out at... I think that was it had 180 some odd million is the high water mark. At the end of that period, the transfer of the $81 million, it was 113 million, I believe.
What is a safe level in your opinion?
Well, there are a number of criteria you use to evaluate the relative strength or weakness of your surplus. One is the predominant one used is the relationship of premiums to surplus. The standard criteria is $1 of surplus for every $2.5 to $3 of premium. We'll have approximately $125 million worth of premium volume, and with $55 million worth of surplus, you're about less than two and a half to one. So you're still within the accepted standard. Used in the industry is to measure and go to strength of your surplus position. The problem you got is that we've had to the rigors of the open marketplace coupled with the cumulative impact of past management practices have kind of bled into 84 as a and we are putting in place what we feel the series of corrective actions that will hopefully stop the flow of red ink and rebuild our financial strength.
Thank you. If there's no further questions, thank you very much, Gary. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify at House Bill 2152? If not...
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question, perhaps directed to you more than anyone in the audience? We've not heard from any state agencies concerning this bill. Does that presume that they like the bill, or is that not a question that should be asked? I'm just wondering if this is a bill that's going to affect numerous state agencies. We might know how the Department of Higher Education would feel about it, but I'm wondering if we have any indication from other states.
Well, they all know that they get the word as to know, what we're seeing, and they have
okay,
access to
okay, so we just
the
have to assume since they haven't
yeah,
commented, they have
nothing
to say.
That's their responsibility, and we can't seek them out. They have to seek us out. Representative,
I don't see anything wrong with the staff being asked to question. If there's a question that Representative Peterson has, would it be appropriate that maybe an agency might be asked that is not currently falling under this jurisdiction, whether they...
Do you have a specific...
I would appreciate that. That would be helpful to me in understanding.
Just one thing for the committee's information relative to Representative Springer's amendments in the Motor Vehicle Accident Fund. When he introduced those a couple of weeks back, I did contact that agency just to let them know that this was coming, and I have not heard anything further from them. But I will certainly check with additional agencies and update.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Phillips?
Just a point of clarification, perhaps for Representative Peterson. I'm sure that during the governor's meetings with his agency heads, bills such of this import would come up. For the record, Director Houston is nodding her head, so they probably did bring this up and discuss it. And that's where agencies talk to one another, and most of them have full-time lobbyists, if you will, although they don't careful not to call them that work these halls. And I'm sure if they have many concerns, you personally...